But God is good all the time, all the time. All right, God is all knowing. Amen. All powerful. Amen. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. Amen. But have you ever wondered, what does he want to do with me? Right? I mean, this powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent, the way the song sings, wonderful counselor, God, why the world? Why Jesus? Why does he love me and my family? And why does he love you? Why does he love this little Asian man who speaks broken English? And why does he love Mary and, some of you guys? Some of you guys look at yourself in the mirror. Have you guys ever wondered this? You look at yourself in the mirror like, I don't deserve this. I do that every single day. I walk into my office every day. I can't believe I'm a pastor of a church. Why? This powerful, awesome God. What does he want to do with me? Mindful of me, mindful of you. Why the world? The answer, it's in his names. And that's the new series we're starting, The Names of God, leading into Christmas Eve service. Don't miss Christmas Eve service, because we're going to pack everything up and it's going to make sense to you. The Names of God. And that's the entire theme of the Bible. It's in the name of God. Names are important. Names can be incredibly important part of your culture, and in my culture, names is really important to a fault. And depends on what culture and what parts of the world you live in, the name you carry, it's held to a very high standard. Your job is to represent your family name. That's how I grew up. Wear it well, the name of your family. Never, ever to disgrace it. And you know this. My Asian culture, the names are so important that they even make memes about it. Show this meme here. So you fail the engineering and the other girl passed. You bring disgrace to a family name. All right, that was intended to be a joke, guys. Come on. That's how hard my Asian cultures are, right? Like, you can't be B. You got to be A, right? You can't have a 99. You got to have 100. You can't just, fail. You got to pass everything. There's a funny meme that says, you can be anything you want. Doctors or engineers. That's the Asian culture. They tell you can be anything you want to be. Two options. Doctors or engineer. That's how my culture works. And sometimes I passively, jokingly telling my children, I have four of them, Vela doesn't understand yet, but the three boys certainly, you are a Nugent. You are Nugents. And they have no idea what that means, but now they're repeating it. We're Nugents. Like, that's right, you're Nugents. And they have no idea what I mean by that. But, I'm a little passively, sarcastically said, wear the family name right. You're Nugents. You can do whatever you want. Jokingly, no, you can't really do whatever you want, but you're Nugents. Throughout history, you recognize some of the family crests as well. In some certain culture, they have these important matters of the family crest. And depends where you come from or what culture you're in. Your name's also derived from what you do, your location, or just what you've been born into. So a couple of history here. Johnson, anyone with the last name Johnson or know someone last name Johnson? It came from son of John. You guys ever wonder that? Like, where did the name John Johnson come from? It came from son of John. And then Fisher, it's an occupation, comes from fisherman. You guys might have heard like boots, Wilt's boots, right? They're boot maker. And the last one is Bakuski, right? Come from Chewbacca. No, I don't know. Come back, Zay. It's from, that's Poland, right? That's a Poland last name, Bakuski. And even in plates, they have these name in plates throughout history. The Montagues versus the who? That capitalist. Oh man, I can't believe you guys know that. I was going to stump you on that one. That's pretty good. The Montagues versus the Capulets, Romeo and Juliet. And this name thing, it reigns throughout history. Names are important. And the Hebrew people, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, as you guys might know, did the same thing for the names of God. The names they called God describes his characters and who he is and what he does and how is he involved in their lives on a daily basis. They come up with names like this. Elohim is, it's God, the creator. He's God. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And then they come up with Elohim Chaim, which means the living God. Like they got to come up with names to communicate to each other. How do we talk about this God? Elohim Chaim, the living God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. This is when God, Abraham would go into the distant land and God says, I will provide. So he came up with that name for God, Jehovah Jireh. God, the Lord will provide. Or the Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. It's from Gideon when he's getting ready to go into battle and he's facing the Canaanites and they were scary. They were big. They have giants. They have armies. And he says, the Lord is my peace. So you ever want to wonder what God is like? Not like what he looks like, but like, what is God like? I ask myself that question all the time. What is he like? I hope you remember the names of God. It's in his name. It reveals who he is. His personality, how he works, and how he's involved in our lives on a daily basis. So throughout the scripture, I search all week. How do we know what God's name is? And there are only two occasions in the Bible where God reveals his name. Two occasions. That's it. God wants us to address him in two ways. Two locations. One is when Moses asked God, tell me your name. And some of you guys have been in church forever, and God says, what? I am, right? Do you know where the other occasion is? Where someone addressed God by name? Is when Jesus, he says, our Father. Abba Father. There are those only two occasions in the Bible where that's how God really wants us to address him. One, it's I am. And two, it's Father. It dawns on me. These two names also reveals God's power and his reason. His power, this all-knowing God, what's he want to do with me? He's with me on a daily basis. His name's Jesus, and this all-powerful, all-knowing God created the world, and he controls all things. But what does he want to do with me? Because he's a father. And that's the entire theme of the Bible. In the next couple weeks, we're going to study all different names of God. And on Christmas Eve, I'll reveal to you what it really, really meant. But the entire Bible hangs on these two names. Yahweh, I am. And Abba, Father. So today we begin with Exodus chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, turn there. There's one on every row. So you guys ready for Bible study? Yeah. I know. I love it. I love it. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus in the Old Testament. The second books, Genesis, Exodus. The Bible would divide into two parts. If you're watching with us online, you have your Bible apps. Go ahead and turn that out as well. But I love Bible because you can kind of follow through. So the Bible divide into two parts, New Testament, Old Testament. Exodus is the second book. We begin with chapter 3, beginning verse 11. Little backstory. Moses is running away from the Egyptians. He accidentally murdered somebody who was abusing his people, the Hebrew people. They were slave in Egypt after Joseph. So he ran away and he married Jethro's daughter. He's now as a shepherd in the desert. One day he was wandering around the desert, tending sheep, and a what appeared to him? A burning bush. Some of you guys have been in church forever. Some of you guys who haven't been in church in a long time, that's just a little bit backstory for you. So Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. But Moses said to God, so God is calling Moses, I want you to go back into Egypt. Stop running. Stop tending sheep. Stop doing what you're doing. Go back into Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Some of you guys growing up might have watched the Disney movie. It has nothing to do with the Bible, and you don't really care about the Bible. You watch the Disney movie, right? Let my people go. So this is what God is calling Moses to do. So here, Moses, chapter 3, verse 11. Said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God says, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what's his name? Then what shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am who sending you. Weird conversation. Let's just call it what it is. All right? It's a weird conversation. Moses tending sheep in the middle of the desert, all of a sudden a burning bush appeared to him and said, Moses, go to Egypt, let my people out. Leave my people out. Moses come up with all kinds of excuses. You can read the whole chapter 3. Oh, God, I have a stuttering problem. I can't say what I want to say to Pharaoh. I never led an army. I don't even have an army. All my people are sheep. They can't fight. What am I going to say to Pharaoh? And God says, I will what? I will be with you. But he's not sold yet, right? I mean, that's weird. This is not like God is standing in front of Moses and say, I'm going to go with you. This is not like some figure standing in front of him with power, hands and eyes and all these things that's glowing out of him. And if that was the case, yeah, he might be convinced, right? But it's a burning bush. So he entertained the idea. He said, okay, this is weird. Okay, let's say I go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. How am I going to do it? God said, I'm going to be with you. Okay, you're going to be with me, but let's take it a step further. Let's say I'm going to go to the million of the Israelites. What am I going to tell them to leave the life that they're used to, the enslaved life? They were born into slavery. This is several generations has passed from Joseph. So essentially, this is what Moses is asking the Israelites, to leave this land to your left, you know, yeah, stage left. So to leave that, to wander into that. That's essentially what Moses has to do to the Israelites. So he's saying, God, let's say I go to the Israelites and I asked them to follow me, to leave that and go wander out to that. What should I say? Your God sent me to you. Okay, what's your God's name? Pretty simple question, right? And what did God say? I am who I am. It gets even more difficult for Moses. Because it's not like God say, hi, Moses, I'm Jeffrey. I'm going to be with you, and we're going to go together into Egypt and lead a million people out. That's not what God said. God says, I am who I am. So in the Hebrew, essentially, this is what how God answered to Moses when he says, God, what is your name? This is what it will look like. Like that, right? That's what it'll look like. All my computer programming guys, you're like, oh, that's a code. No, no, it's not a code. I'm just punching my keyboard. That's what God's name was when the way he replied it to Moses. So Moses like, God, tell me your name. And God goes, that's what it sounded like. So here is Moses standing in front of a burning bush. He's going to listen to God to go into the promised land to lead a million people out and to defeat Pharaoh. But even worse, he says, what's your name? And God says, And it dawned on me, God's name is not something you can say, but it's something to know. And stick with me here. I'm going to explain this to you. The way the Hebrew people describe God's name, because they had to come up with some ways to communicate, right? This language, these words, these letters. So they come up with this word is Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. The way we pronounce it is Yahweh, right? Next slide. The Yahweh. Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. The way we pronounce that it's Yahweh, and it's unpronounceable. And throughout history, some really smart people, smarter than me, trying to explain this thing, and they come up with all kinds of stuff. No one really come up with a definitive answer for God's name. They settle with this, Yahweh. And here are some things they come up with and translate it as, I am called what I am. I am who I am, which is what you read today. I am and I will be. All these are correct, by the way. I am who he is. I am the existing being. That's how they translate Yahweh, some of the names of God. And some of the weaker translation is like, I was and is and I am, was and is. But the truth is, you and I have to know this, is God's name, it's unpronounceable. It is so holy that Moses couldn't describe it. And the Hebrew people has such a sacred place for God's name that when they write it, they don't even write it out. They just write it this way. G, a dash, and D. Because to them, God's name is so sacred that they're afraid to even leave a mark that it might be erased or accidentally saying his name by writing it. They only attempt. So essentially, God's name to Moses, and when Moses says, what is your name? It's the sound of breathing. So here's the scenario. Moses tending sheep. He's walking around. He's been away from Egypt. He killed somebody in Egypt. He ran away because he doesn't want to go back, because if he goes back, he will face capital punishment. So he's hiding from Pharaoh. And all of a sudden, a burning bush came up in front of him and says, Moses, I want you to go back and lead my people out. Here's Moses' scenario. Here's this burning bush. I don't know what God's name is. He's going to ask me. He's going to go back to the biggest, the most dangerous, the most advanced civilization that ever existed on the face of the earth, the Egyptians. And he wants me to defeat the Egyptian army and convince a million people of my people who are used to the slave life to leave and to go wander into Egypt. You can hear the tone of Moses. God, I can't do this. I never raised an army. I can't. I'm a shepherd. I stutter. I don't have the experience of military. I never led anything. Why do you have to do this conversation back and forth? God, what's your name? Why am I going to tell Moses? God. And what did God say to Moses? Breathe, Moses. He says, Moses, take a deep breath. That's God's name. In the chaos of your life, I want you guys to do this for a second. Take a deep breath and breathe out. That, you just said God's name. And God says, Moses, I am with you in your darkest hour. God is with you by you simply breathing. Amen? He says, I will be with you. There's only three other occasions that God said this before up to this point. Remember, Genesis is all a ton of letters, ton of writings, and there's only three other times that God said this. The first one is when he said to Abraham, this is his promise to Abraham. The Lord, Genesis chapter 2, the Lord has said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father household, and the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse whoever curses you. And all of the people on earth will be blessed through you. So here's this thing, what God says, I will. I'm with you. I'm with you, Abraham. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to fight your battles for you. I'm going to provide for you, Abraham. And the next time he said this to Abraham's son, stay in this land for a while. This is to Isaac. I will be with you and I will bless you. For you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and confirm the oath I swore to your forefathers, Abraham. And the third time he said this was to Jacob. Then the Lord said to Jacob, go back. Go back to the land of your fathers and your relative, and I will be with you. God is making this promise to Moses the same way he made a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, I am with you. Moses knew this. Moses was raised by his mother. She's a Hebrew. He's a Hebrew. That's why he defended the Hebrew person where he killed the Egyptians. That's where he ended up, why he was in the desert in the first place. Moses knew this. Moses knew the promise of God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when Moses heard the phrase, I am with you. Have you ever wondered why Moses just turned back around and went up to Egypt? There's this intimacy in this conversation when Moses, when he hears God saying, I am with you, he's reminded, yes, you are. That's your promise, the same promise you're calling me that you call Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's coming up with all kinds of excuses, and God says, breathe, Moses, breathe. I am with you. God is not calling him to fight. God's calling him to lead, to follow, to lead the Israelites. Because God's going to fight his battle for him. God, tell me your name. Make it easy for me. And God says, my name is not important. What's more important is that you know that I am with you. God says, my name is not important. What's more important that you know that I'm with you? When I started this job 4 years ago, it was crazy. I can tell you that. Yeah, I look out into the congregation and there were, at the time, Lewis, what was it, like roughly 30 of us, 40 of us sitting out here trying to figure out what church is about. We have these old paint that looks like we're from the 80s. You missed it. We painted recently. Half the ceiling tiles are falling in. I'm looking at myself and Liz and our elders, and I said, are we really going to do this? And then 3 months later, COVID happened. Gary knows this, but you guys didn't know this. You guys didn't know that I quit during COVID. Remember that, Gary? It was too hard. All of a sudden, I stand here and I spoke to nobody. And it was during the time where people weren't coming together anyway. So there's no such thing as church growth, right? How do you grow a church when the country is shut down? How do you invite people to church when you can't even be in the same building because you're afraid you're going to catch something? So there was no growing church. But thanks to our elders, we kept the faith and we know God is with us. I'm happy. God says, I'm with you. I'm lonely. And God says, I'm with you. I'm successful. God says, I'm with you. I'm a failure. I'm with you. I'm losing control, God. I'm with you. I'm not where I need to be. I'm with you. I need help. I'm with you. My marriage is failing. I'm with you. I need a fix. I need a quick one. I'm with you. I'm confused. I'm with you. I got it figured out. I'm with you. Thanksgiving is going to be lonely. I'm with you. Christmas is just around the corner. I'm with you. In your darkest moments, it's not how you say God's name. It's knowing that the breath that you take, you're speaking his name. He says, Moses, take a deep breath because I am with you. And it's the same promise. It's the same promise in Matthew chapter 28. And he says this. This is Jesus saying to us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you. And surely I am with you. And surely I am with you always to the ends of the age. Amen. As the band come forward, Thanksgiving is just right around the corner. And I'm thankful because regardless of what situations I'm in, I know God is with me. Amen? And so he is also with you. Take a deep breath. You're saying the name of God. As we stand forward, we picked the song today for a reason, because there's only one name, and his name is Jesus. And if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, today could be your day. We will baptize you right here in the baptistry. But maybe, you know, you're approaching some really hard holidays, and you just need some prayer. Our elders will be up here to pray for you, and I'm here to pray for you as well. I ask you to step forward. One, it's to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. We have changing clothes. We can baptize you today. It would be a great celebration. But if you just need prayer, some encouragement, our elders be up here to pray for you as well. But don't leave here today without tuning your heart to God. And take a deep breath. Amen.